We all know that today is Independence Day. Today is a day when we celebrate freedom. And I know that freedom means different things to different people. But freedom is a great blessing that we enjoy in this country, and it is something that we should hold dear as Americans. And again, I know there's some controversy even that's surrounding that, but I want you to ask folks who live in other countries if freedom is something that we ought to be thankful for. For those who do not have what we have had in this nation, there are others who want to be here because of what we enjoy. There are men and women who have sacrificed for the acquiring and the securing and the preserving of that freedom. And for that, we ought to be thankful and never take it for granted. But to be grateful not just for it on one day out of the year, but throughout the year. But we're not here to talk about the freedom that we enjoy as Americans. There is a freedom that you can have that is greater than any national freedom. There is a freedom that Christians enjoy that surpasses any other thought that you may have. And for those who are Christians this morning, this is a freedom that we must appreciate. This is a freedom that we must recognize how great of a blessing that it is, and never, never take it for granted. Never be one who would forfeit that freedom that we have because we wear the name of Christ. And yet it's interesting, as we think about this topic of Christians enjoying freedom today, it's interesting as we think about the land that we live in called the land of the free. It's interesting today how many people in this land are not free, do not enjoy the freedom that is available in Christ, but rather are actually enslaved. Enslaved to the things of this world. Enslaved to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Enslaved to the devil and to his various things that he would throw at us. Here we are in the land of the free, and we think about the freedoms that we enjoy, and yet the majority of those around us do not enjoy true freedom. I want to invite you this morning to turn your Bible to Galatians chapter 5, and especially in verse 1 is where we're going to focus our attention this morning. And to see in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 that God talks about a freedom in this text that is greater than anything we can imagine. And in fact, I don't even know that there are enough words available to us to explain the blessing that this freedom is to those who have it. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul wanted these Christians to understand that they had been freed in order to be free. And I know that sounds almost silly. It almost sounds redundant that you have been freed to be free. But that is what Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 teaches. That God has freed us in order that we can be free. So I want us to just spend some time this morning in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 and to see what we can learn from this text. The first thing I want us to see in this text is that this freedom that we have, that this text is talking about, that Paul wanted these Christians to understand, this freedom is only available in Christ. In fact, in chapter 2 and verse 4, there were some who were coming among the Christians and trying to figure out, what is this freedom that they have in, notice Galatians 2 and verse 4, in Christ. That's the only place that you can enjoy this freedom that God has available for us, and it's in Christ. Can I share a fallacy with you? Can I share a misnomer with you this morning? The Bible says that true freedom is found in Christ. True freedom is not found in the world. I know our world wants us to believe that that's where freedom is. Our world wants us to believe that freedom is in the world, because in the world you can do whatever you want to do. And as Christians, you're confined and you can't do anything. But over in the world, we haven't become a Christian. We can do anything that we want to do. And they see that as freedom. That's not freedom. In John chapter 8 and verse 34, Jesus says, he who commits, listen to this, Jesus talking, John 8 and verse 34, Jesus says, he who commits sin is a, you know what he says? He who commits sin is a slave of sin. Does that sound like freedom to you? That's not freedom. We live in the land of the free, and people say we're free to do whatever we want. And yet the majority of our nation is enslaved to sin. Is alcohol enslaving? Is tobacco enslaving? Is pornography enslaving? Is sexual immorality enslaving? You know it is. Even without the Bible telling us that it is, you know that it is. And yet it's those out in the world that think we can do whatever we want to do and we're free. And it's Jesus that says, you're not free. You are enslaved to the devil. You are enslaved to sin. Is gambling one of these things? Is that enslaving? You think about everything the world has to offer and it's all enslaving. True freedom is found in Christ. Because when you think about not just where freedom is, think about when you are in Christ, what you have freedom from. The book of Galatians, through the entirety of the book of Galatians is written to help these Christians to understand that they have freedom from the law of the Old Testament, the law of Moses. They're not bound by that anymore. They wanted to be. There were Christians that were still wanting to tie themselves to that Old Testament law. And throughout the text of the book of Galatians, Paul's telling them, if you are a child of God, if you are in Christ, you are free from that old law. You don't want to go back to it. Here's a law that bound them in sin. Here's a law that could not free them from sin. Why would you want to be bound to that law anymore? God says you're free from that law. Even more than that, the freedom that you have is freedom from sin. That's the best freedom of all. The freedom that when you were once enslaved to sin, you are no longer enslaved to sin. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 1, the Bible says, there is now no, underscore that, N-O, there is now no condemnation to those who are where? To those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation because of sin. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus because we have been, verse 2 says, we have been set free, listen to this, we have been set free from the law of sin and death. Have you been freed from the law of sin and death? Only possible if you are in Christ. Freed from the bondage of sin. Freed from the entanglement of sin. You don't, and it's not just freed from past sin. Jesus, when you are in Christ, has freed you from past sin so that you can be free from future sin. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, if we walk in the light, listen to this, if we walk in the light, where is that? In Christ. If we walk in the light as He, Christ, is there in the light, we have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. What does it keep on doing? Blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, keeps on cleansing us. When we are in Christ, we are free from past sins in order that we might be free from future sins. Not that we won't sin. The passage goes on in 1 John chapter 1 to say we will sin. Not that we won't sin. But if we keep trying to serve Him faithfully, He will keep forgiving us of our sins. Are you in Christ this morning? That's where freedom is found. If you're in Christ this morning and you're walking with Him in the light, guess how many sins you have against you right now? Here you are as a child of God. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. We all sin. We all have those things that the devil comes along and tempts us and we fall for it and we keep falling for it. And yet, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're a child of God here this morning, you don't have a single solitary sin against you. Why? Because you've been freed from it. That's the only way we can be in a right relationship with God. And so hear me. If you're a Christian this morning, If you're a faithful child of God this morning, would you listen to this? The freedom that we have from sin means that we have freedom from the fear of death. For some reason, we still hold death out there as Christians as the worst thing that could happen to us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 talks about Jesus taking on flesh and blood because He took on a human form that was flesh and blood. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 that He took on flesh and blood so that He could die for us. That He could die in our place to free us, verse 15 says, to free us from the fear of death, to which we were all of our lifetimes subject unto bondage. For a faithful child of God, death is nothing to be afraid of. Death is merely a transition from this world into the presence of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, while we are present in the body, we are absent from the Lord, verse 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But verse 8 says, when we are absent from the body, we are present with the Lord. Tell me which one of those is better. Tell me which one is better, to be present in the body and absent from the Lord, or to be absent from the body and present with the Lord? When we look at the end of our lives, it's not the end. It's the glorious entrance into eternity with our God. And we only have that joy, that excitement, that freedom if we are in Christ. Do you have that this morning? Those who are in the world, those who are enslaved to sin, guess what they have, whether they realize it or not. Guess what they have? Fear of death. You know why they have fear of death? Not necessarily because of death itself, but whether they realize it or not, because of what comes after it. But because of what comes after it, we don't need to fear. Are you there this morning? This is Independence Day in this country. But if you're not there this morning, this could be your Independence Day today. This could be your day of freedom where you say, I'm tired of being enslaved to sin. I'm tired of being enslaved to the fear of death. I want to be free from all of that. You can have that this morning. But don't misunderstand this freedom. The freedom that we read it out in the Bible, when you read freedom, we think, in some ways we might think, I don't have to do anything. Well, that's not what it's talking about. The Bible does not say that we are free from law. We're free from the law of Moses. But it doesn't teach that we're free from law. There's still the law of the Spirit of Christ, Romans 8 and verse 2 talks about. There's still the law of Christ, Galatians 6 and verse 2 talks about. There is still that which we can come to our Bibles and read that God has shared with us and told us, here's how I want you to live. Here's what I want you to do. And understand that when we have that, we've got freedom. Freedom from sin. Freedom from death. To where we can look at death and say, oh, death, where's your sting? What's the big deal about death? If I'm a child of God, I'm free from that. But if I'm free from something, the Bible would also indicate that I am free to something. Not free to do whatever I would want to do in my fleshly side. Look at verse 13, Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Where he says, do not use liberty, freedom. Do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. We've got to redefine freedom here. It's not a freedom that I say, now I can do whatever my flesh wants to do. That's a fleshly person talking. But now in Christ, I do get to do what I want to do. But in Christ, you know what I want to do? In Christ, I want to say the things that I ought to say. That ought to be where I am. And I know all of us have problems saying things that we shouldn't say. But in Christ, I've got freedom to say the things that I ought to say. And the things that I ought to say ought to be the things that I want to say. Thank you for your prayer this morning, Gary. Where we allow too many things to get in our way, too many pursuits of life that we allow to get in our way of speaking to others about Christ. Is there any better words for us to speak, any better things for us to share with others than the good news of Jesus? And I'm free to tell that to anybody that I want to tell that to. What better thing is there for me to say? What better thing is there for me to do than the things that I ought to do? Look in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, where he says, don't use these opportunities to fulfill the lust of the flesh. But what does he say? Look at the end of verse 13. Through love, serve one another. Not that I have to. It's that I get to. Instead of using my freedom to fulfill the opportunities of the flesh, chapter 5 and verse 13, I use my freedom to fulfill the opportunity to serve others. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. As we have opportunity, let us do what? Do good. That's what I ought to want to do. To find opportunities to do good unto others. To find opportunities to practice the golden rule, not just when I have to, but to find those chances, those opportunities when I can do it, when others are least expecting it. And this is one of those paradoxes of Christianity, isn't it? I have been freed in order to serve. Wait a minute, that doesn't fit. If freedom and service, they don't, you know, freedom, that doesn't go together. I have been freed to be a servant of my God. And for that, I ought to be eternally grateful. I have been freed to be a servant towards others. Well, I don't want to do that. That's no fun. If that's no fun, why do I see Christians having fun doing it? Have you seen some of your brothers and sisters in Christ that are finding satisfaction in serving one another? What's wrong with them? What? They're a little warped, aren't they? Doing good to others and you find joy and satisfaction. No, that's being like Jesus, isn't it? Matthew 20 and verse 28, what does it say about Jesus? God, Matthew 20 and verse 28, God came to this earth not to be served, but to serve. Okay. If Jesus could find joy and fulfillment and satisfaction not in being served, but in serving, who am I to say there's a better way? Who am I to say there's another way? And when I do all of this, I've got freedom to glorify my God because that's what I'm here to do. My life is to bring honor and glory to Him. When we come together, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad in this country that we've got the freedom to assemble? We may not have that for long. I don't know if you've noticed, but our freedoms are gradually being taken from us. There may reach a day where we do not have the freedom to assemble, the freedom to worship, the freedom to worship the God of our choice. We may not have that for long, but as a Christian, guess what? It doesn't matter what country I live in. I have the freedom, the privilege, the opportunity to glorify my God, not just in a worship assembly, but in all things that I do. Do you have this freedom today? Are you free in Christ? We're taking Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, and I'm just taking these expressions in the order that they appear, not in the English text, but actually in the Greek text. The very first thing that Galatians 5 and verse 1 says in the Greek text is in, freedom in. It talks about freedom, the very first part. Your Bible doesn't talk about freedom as the very first part, but the noun freedom, the state of being free, is the very first thing said in Galatians 5 and verse 1. The second thing said in Galatians 5 and verse 1 is that that freedom has been provided by Christ. And it's interesting, freed to be free. We are free, but we have been free. How did we get free? We didn't free ourselves. We didn't break out of We didn't break out of sin prison on our own. We were freed by Christ. Because Christ alone is the one who can free us. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 34, we looked at earlier. Verse 34, where Jesus says in John chapter 8, he who commits sin is a slave of sin. Then down two verses later, verse 36, he says, and he who the Son frees is free indeed. Can't be freed by any other means, but then by Jesus Christ. He is the one who frees us. And when you look at this text, he frees us through his blood. That's the only way that freedom can come, back to in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 14. That freedom comes by obeying his law. There's an interesting expression in James 1 and verse 25. James chapter 1, starting up in verse 22 down through verse 25, is that passage where you may be familiar, where he talks about not being a hearer only, but a doer of the work. You get down to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 25, and he says, here's the one who looks, here's the one that's going to be blessed. Here's the one that the Lord is going to look down and bless, is the one who looks into what? The perfect law of what? Liberty. What an interesting way to describe the Bible. What an interesting way to describe the gospel. It is perfect, we know that, but it's a law. But it's a law of liberty. And he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of what the Word says, the perfect law of liberty says, he will be blessed in what he does. The only way you can enjoy this freedom is for Christ's law to have set you free so that you can be blessed in what you do. It's tied with what Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Do you have this freedom? Do you have the freedom that you are in Christ from sin, from the fear of death, to do those things that He wants you to do and bring honor and glory to Him? You only have that if you've been freed by Christ, by His blood, through His law, in obedience to His truth. Would you turn your Bible for just a second to Romans chapter 6? We're going to come back here in just a moment to Galatians chapter 5. But go over to Romans chapter 6. And I want to allow the Bible to show us when this freedom takes place. We see that we are freed by Christ. We can only be freed by Christ and by His blood and by His Word. But when does that take place? If you look in Galatians chapter 6, here's a text, and we talked about this in the Bible class hour this morning. Here's a text that has a lot, this whole chapter has a lot to say about sin. Has a lot to say about the death that sin brings about. Verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. Look in verse 6, where he says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. When did that take place? Our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be what? Slaves of sin. There was something that happened, he says, that the old man was crucified and we're no longer slaves of sin. So because we're not slaves of sin, look in verse 7. Because we're not slaves of sin, he who has died to sin has been freed from sin. That's what we're talking about. Being freed from sin. We were freed from sin when sin was done away with, when the body of sin was done away with, when the old man was crucified. When did that happen? For sake of time, look down at verse 17. But God be thanked that though you, past tense, though you were, you used to be slaves of sin. They're not anymore. What happened? They were, used to be, past tense, slaves of sin. Something happened. God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you did something. You obeyed from the heart. You took action. You were slaves of sin. But then you obeyed. Now hang on a second. Look at this list of things that frees us. It's Jesus and His blood and His law and His truth that frees us. But Paul says that freedom came at a moment in time when you obeyed, what does he say in verse 17? That form, that pattern, that model of teaching which was delivered to you. And look at what verse 18 says, just to make sure we understand that what's happening. Verse 18 says, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. So Paul lets us know that this freedom that we have from sin took place when we obeyed something. When we obeyed what? When we obeyed that form, that pattern of teaching. What pattern of teaching was delivered to the church in Rome? Pattern of teaching that was delivered to them was the same pattern of teaching that was delivered to every other group of people that Paul came across. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, Paul says, I delivered to you, first and foremost, the very first thing I did when I came to Corinth, he says, was to deliver unto you the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus died, he was buried, and he was raised again the third day. And Paul says, I delivered that gospel to you. Well, guess what the individuals in Rome had done? They had obeyed the gospel. What had they done? They had obeyed the form of teaching, which is the gospel. What's that form of teaching? They had obeyed the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. How do you obey that pattern? How do you obey the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus? What does Romans chapter 6 teach us? Just back up earlier in the chapter. Go to verse 2. Romans chapter 6, verse 2. Look at verse 1. What shall we say to this? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who did what? Died to sin, live any longer in it? When did that happen? Verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, surely we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. What was this form of teaching that they had obeyed? They had obeyed the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. How do you do that? You die to the practice of sin. You repent and say, I don't want to sin anymore. I don't want to have anything to do with that. You are buried just as Jesus was buried. And verse 4 says that burial takes place in baptism. And then just as Jesus was raised from the dead, you are raised out of the waters of baptism, raised out of that death, and that body of sin remains there in that death, and you're raised to walk in newness of life. Have you ever obeyed that form of teaching? That's what Romans chapter 6 says, is that this freedom, it only comes through Christ, and it only comes through Christ when I obey His teaching. Have you ever obeyed that pattern of teaching so that at that moment you could be freed from sin? So that that day could be known as your Independence Day, the day that you gained freedom from sin, the day that you gain freedom from the fear of death. If you've never done that, you can do that today. Why not be freed from sin today? Why not be freed from the fear of death today by doing what they did in Romans chapter 6? By following the pattern that Jesus laid out for us in His death and His burial and His resurrection. The Bible says when I do that, when I secure that freedom, when I understand the freedom that I have in Christ, then I need to firmly stand in that freedom. If you're a child of God today, God says in this passage, He's not saying in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore stand in your freedom based upon some other. He is saying you are free, therefore stand right there. Firmly stand. Don't move from it. Don't budge from it. We cannot afford to lose our freedom. The world doesn't understand this. The world does not have the freedom that we have. They don't understand. They have not experienced what we have. But God says this is the natural response. If you are free, your natural response ought to be to stand right there. Who wants to lose freedom in Christ? Who wants to lose freedom from sin? Who wants to lose freedom from fear of death? No right-thinking person would want to lose that. It's also here in the Greek present tense, which indicates a continual activity. Not just, well, I was baptized, I became a Christian, and I stood there for a day, but you know, I've got other things to do. It's a continual lifestyle and activity that requires all that I have in my service to the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, being immovable, always abounding, being steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I've got to do that. I cannot give up. I cannot lose. I cannot forfeit the freedom that I have. And we've got to be vigilant. As we stand there, we've got to be vigilant. Is the devil going to leave us alone once we enjoy this freedom? Is the devil going to say, well, never mind, we lost that one. We'll go after somebody else. No, the devil's going to keep after you. He's already got those people out in the world. They're already enslaved to him. He's got them already. He wants you back. We've got to be vigilant. We've got to be watchful, knowing that our adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? Seeking whom he may play cards with? Seeking whom he may be friends with? Seeking whom he may sit down and... No, what does the word say? Seeking whom he may devour. He's not your friend. The Bible says he's your enemy. And as we stand for the freedom that we have, and as we stand in the freedom that we have, we've got to be vigilant. We've got to watch out for him at every turn, and we do that by just fulfilling the law of Christ. We won't take time to look at these verses, but throughout the rest of these two chapters in the book of Galatians, it just says, keep on keeping on. Keep on doing what you are doing and don't give up. That's what these Christians in the city of Galatia needed to hear more than anything, is that they needed to exert everything they could. They already had freedom, so it wasn't exerting everything in order to obtain the freedom, but was to exert everything in order to retain, to keep it. It's not easy sometimes being a Christian. The world looks awfully appealing sometimes. The devil makes it awfully appealing to say, oh, if I just went back over there, things would be so much easier. And guess what? It absolutely is not. That's the devil talking. Jesus says, you've got freedom in Christ. Jesus says, you've been freed by Christ. Therefore, firmly stand there. And the last thing he says in verse 1, while you're firmly standing there, fight against every urge to get entangled again in that web of sin. What does he say in Galatians 5, verse 1? Stand therefore in this freedom that you have in Christ, the freedom that he has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Once you're free, don't go back. He goes on in this chapter to say the flesh and all of those fleshly passions entangles. Don't allow your flesh to have free reign. He says false teachers, false doctrines, they entangle. If you go back into chapter 1 of this same book of Galatians, he talks about it there. False teachers and false doctrines entangle. Don't allow them to have free reign. Paul appeals to these Christians to fight every urge to give in to those things that once entangled them. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20 that those individuals, they were once entangled, but they had escaped the pollutions of the world. Have you escaped the pollutions of the world? He said they had escaped the pollutions of the world, but then they were entangled again therein. Do you know how Peter describes those who had come out of this enslavement to sin? They had been freed from sin and they had that freedom in Christ because they had been baptized into Christ, but then they had veered back into being entangled in sin. You know how Peter describes that at the end of 2 Peter chapter 2? He said it's like a dog who returns to his own vomit. He says it's like a pig that's been washed, and then where does the pig go? Goes back to wallow in the mire. Who would ever do that? Somebody who's not thinking about the freedom that they enjoy. And so Paul says, do not get entangled in those things that you were once entangled in. And then he says, be careful of those things in yet future that could entangle you. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, he talks about good soldiers being careful not to be entangled in the affairs of this life. The devil may try new tricks. may try new things towards us. Say, why don't you try this? And God says, do not be entangled in these things, recognizing that when you give up those freedoms, you surrender yourself back into bondage. You surrender yourself back into slavery. It may look appealing. You may say, why shouldn't I go back over there? Because you give up what the Lord has done for you. Brother and sister in Christ, may I appeal to you, don't go back. Those of you who have been Christians for any length of time, you can think about brothers and sisters in Christ who have been once again entangled in the affairs of this life. You can think about people who used to be a part of this family, people who used to worship with us, no longer here, because they once enjoyed freedom in Christ. They once had been freed by the blood of Jesus, by being baptized into Him. And at one time they firmly were standing right next to us. And yet today they're not here. God pleads with us, don't give up. Don't give in. When the devil comes along and tries to make something look good, chapter 5 and verse 24, crucify the flesh. Put to death those things that would lead you away from faithful service to the Lord. And do all that you can to find joy and satisfaction in the freedom that you have in Christ. Famous line of Patrick Henry. What did he say? Give me liberty or give me death. This morning, isn't that the options that we have? We either have liberty in Christ or we have the fear of death, consequences of our sins. Where are you today? This is a day in this country, it's a day of celebration. There will be people that are throwing parties today and tonight to celebrate the freedom that we have in this country. What if today was the day of your celebration? What if today was the day that you celebrated freedom? Not freedom from the British, not freedom from some country, freedom from sin, freedom from the fear of death. To let Jesus free you today. Are you there? Would you allow Him this day to free you from the bondage of sin? The Bible says that takes place when you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, when you repent of your sin, confess the faith that is in your heart, and when you are baptized, just as they were in Romans chapter 6, baptized into Christ, baptized into His death where He shed His blood so that His blood can wash away your sins, and that can happen today. Today can be your Independence Day, free from sin. Let Jesus do that for you today, to where you can be raised to walk in newness of life. And this very day, you can take a stand firmly. And I'm going to stay right here. And I'm going to be steadfast and immovable in my service to Him. Are you a faithful Christian today? If not, why don't you listen and hark to the gentle voice of Jesus right now as together we stand and sing.